Oh, wonderful. Weather today, well, highs of 2 degrees centigrade. That's a high of 2 degrees centigrade. A low of 0 degrees centigrade, obviously. Cold and rather cloudy with scattered light sleet or snow showers.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Yay! Hannah, did you... I didn't think it seemed like 0 degrees, 2 degrees centigrade. It seemed quite mild.
Well, compared to the weather we've been having recently, it didn't seem too bad. Anyway, I think today will be practically a heatwave.
Yeah, we could spend the next 2 hours talking about the weather, but we won't. Apart from saying, how is Frodo coping with the winter months in Gibraltar?
Well, it's not too cold, so he's doing quite all right. I think it's about 10 degrees this morning. Oh. So, and it's bright and sunny. So he's been fine. It's, for him, he's got a thick layer of fur, so he never seems to ever get cold.
Exactly. He's just he does his piece. He doesn't mess around. He's quite frankly, everything's okay when it actually comes to the joys of Frodo. So, in terms of names and thoughts and the sort of activities and so on that we're going to be heading up to, can I ask you the question, Gabriella? Are you indeed a splurger, a gambler, or an ostrich? Are you a splurger, a gambler, or an ostrich?
An ostrich? I don't know.
An ostrich? Hannah Brown, are you a splurger, a gambler, or an ostrich?
Well, I understand splurger and gambler. I'm slightly confused as to how ostrich fits into this.
Financial types.
Ben Lewis. Probably the best reason to visit Brighton there's ever been.
Yeah. You see, he needs the actual...
I enjoy that.
he needs to work through. Ben, are you a splurger, gambler, or ostrich? And good morning, by the way.
Good morning. I don't know. Obviously, I've only just turned up, so I don't know what they are in terms of context.
You don't have to reveal
that. We don't know either.
You know, you've been, I mean, Gabriella...
I guess a bit of a gambler. It depends on the situation, I think.
Well, we're also talking about planners, hoarders, worriers, and other scenarios. A new research from TSB who reveals that Brits are plagued by high levels of anxiety and stress over their financial status, with almost half of those in debt admitting that it's affecting their health and well-being. And again, Corinne Sweet, who of course was with us a couple of weeks ago, will be talking about 6 psychological financial types: planners, hoarders, splurgers, gamblers, worriers, and ostriches. Does that help, Hannah, in terms of where you're kind of coming into for this?
I'm still confused by the ostrich part.
Well, the ostrich people think that money problems will sort themselves out. And basically, it's put your head in the sand, really, which is the way.
Now I understand the ostrich.
I've changed mine.
So what are you then, Gabriella?
Can I choose a planner one? I didn't. That wasn't part of the original.
No.
But now that I've heard it, I like it.
Planners, of course, are shrewd with their money. They keep track of their money using apps and notes. They often have savings and catch good deals ahead of the wave.
Yeah. Okay.
So that you see, that's Gabriella sorted out there. No messing about in any way, sense, or other. Hannah, would you like to sort of quiz Gabriella on life, the universe, and, you know, advice? I mean, you know, Gabriella's advice is renowned. She's like the Oracle of Delphi, except in Gibraltar. And you don't have to take out any pig's entrails or cattle entrails and look at the liver, etc., to actually get the message. You can ask the question, and she will respond.
That's a big sell, but obviously the big question that is there every Thursday morning is Frodo awake to listen?
Yeah, he's actually awake now. He usually isn't. But he is very much awake and moving about today. Mm-hmm. From a change of the norm.
Right. Well, here's one just for Frodo.
Hannah Brown, historic Harwich heroine and hyperbolic midweek drivette.
More important, I think we've all identified everybody now. We now know who we are. We're sorted through. It's coming up to 6:30 past 8 o'clock. We're going to move into all sorts of magical things. What does the rest of the day have in store for your good self, Gabriella? Oh, by the way, I thought the way you actually dealt with that scenario of how is Frodo, so it could be a code, of course. It could be Hannah, you could have actually asked some secret question like, is this the scenario to actually lead to more good relations with Vladimir Putin? How is the Australian Prime Minister going to relate, globally to matters? But it may not have been, of course. I'll leave that to our CIA listener. Good morning, California. What would you like to actually what are you doing today, Gabriella?
today I'm back at the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. There's currently, I think I mentioned it last time, that there was this case of three brothers who their law firm went bust, and it turns out they were moving a lot of money, and it was they defrauded about $29 million. But now a separate case has come forward, and it's from the liquidators who are claiming they want to claim money back from the bank, because they say that the bank moved money and allowed all these transactions to happen, and they were dishonest in doing so because they should have had more.
Oh, I think we have to stop it there, otherwise who knows what could be happening. You know, judgments haven't been there, we can't be talking about it. People could be listening.
I'm literally saying what's in today's paper.
That's all right, I don't know.
But, yeah, it's going to continue for about a month. Mm. So I'm not going to turn up every single day this month because it's
you've got a life.
Too long. Yes, I've got other things to do.
You've got financial planning to get sorted out.
Yeah, but it will probably take up quite a bit of my month. Mm.
Well, you know, the world will be a better place as a result. Ben, thoughts from your good self, basically, because, I mean, last night we had seven co-presenters.
Actually. Seven? Yeah. Wow, it's a record.
Holly, of course,
oh,
quite
clearly. Oh, actually, no, not compared to that Christmas episode.
That Christmas episode, as it shall go down in exactly. The legendary world. Holly McGrattan did say, yeah, she'd definitely be here this morning.
Okay. Oh, we may see her in good time. Who knows?
Well, it's now nearly 9 minutes past 8 o'clock. Yes. Still no sign, you know. Mm. Never mind. And as I was about to say, had you not admitted that you just arrived, Gabriella would probably have thought you'd been here working through the night, just preparing. You know, from
just
midnight.
Thinking about whether I was an ostrich or not.
Exactly. Key things. We'll also find out a bit more about Grow It Yourself with our ace Irish gardener, Michael Kelly. And we may, whisper it, we may have the return of William Sitwell.
Very interesting.
Anyway, sorry, it's your interview, Ben. Carry on.
No, it's all right. Nothing too much has been going on. Just life, isn't it? University and.
I mean, Gabriella, just turning things around slightly. You know, given that it's now what 3 years since you were actually here at the University of Lincoln.
Yes, it's been about the same time that I was actually in the uni. Now I'm out of it.
Exactly. So, I mean, do you have any questions you'd like to put to two people who are literally slap bang in the middle, in fact, they're actually into the second half of their degree programs, i.e., Ben for public relations, or indeed Hannah for journalism.
So, in second year.
That's correct.
How are you finding it? Do you enjoy your courses? And is it what you expected your course to be?
Well, I'm very much enjoying it. Slightly worried by the fact that I'm now halfway through and not quite prepared for the real world yet. It's kind of, big. But it's really fun here. I mean, I'm having a great time. I mean, in TV this week, I did a package on Quidditch, so time of my life, really.
Nice to see that you're sort of sharing that joy with the world.
Quidditch is a joy.
I was very tempted to actually bring you in last night to yesterday's programme when we were talking about, obviously, roles of women in the media and Quidditch, etc. But I thought, Phil Linus would just go off on another one. I thought, sorry, Phil, it's okay. You can listen to it all again, apart from Phil Linus's, actually, because the computer actually gave up the ghost and died halfway through that. So Phil will be coming up sort of slightly later on with his Academy Award predictions.
Slight entertainment as well in the show.
Well, just part and parcel of the rich tapestries of life. Okay, Richard Fitzwilliams is with us. Of course, joy of the Queen's Sapphire celebration.
Yes,
I think.
65 years.
65 years. He wants to talk about that and a whole range of other factors. Which, of course, Gabriella, if you want to say, I wish I could listen to that. Well, of course you could. You could listen live via our online, sirenonline.co.uk scenario or the radio app. Or, of course, you could listen again, hopefully, as a podcast. She won't, of course, but she can. She could if she wanted to. Ben.
I don't know. What kind of... What's the plan for the rest of the day, Gabby?
Yeah, she's going to court. She actually do
just court. Sorry. Is that all it is? It's just
like
court.
It's Groundhog Day.
She'd be sitting in court. It might get to a boring part in court, and she'd just be thinking whether she's an ostrich or not.
She could have lunch. She could do... Who knows what could happen there.
Yeah.
It depends on the day. Sometimes you can be in there for half an hour. Sometimes you can be in there for 6 hours.
Okay, it's quite unpredictable.
Yeah, so I don't know. Today I could be there for 3 hours or I could go back in the afternoon and spend five.
The uncertainty. I mean, I could see John Wenham in the studio now, in the office, effectively typing his thing, saying, is she not? Is she not? I need to know. Don't worry, John. We'll let you know in about 2 weeks. Well, no, 1 week from now, 2 weeks from now. Don't do it. Last two questions, please. Hannah?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, of course I have. Thank you.
And will you be joining us again next week?
Yep, next week.
Your mouth is a revolver, find bullets in the sky. Your love is like a soldier, loyal till you die. And I've been looking at the stars for a long, long time. I've been putting out fires all my life. If everybody wants a flame, they don't want to get burned. And today is our turn. Days like these.
And he's gone. So, as we welcome Holly McGrattan to the studio. Good morning, Holly.
Hey.
Sorry, sorting through that. Always on the case, you see. Always sorting through. Really, we didn't actually say goodbye, Holly, when she sort of left last night. Because after the excitement that obviously was our violinist, Rachel, from Los Angeles, effectively, that's it. We're off now, basically. We're going. Sorted out there. So, was it a good event that you attended?
Yes. No, yes. It was very important. Right.
Very good. Is Kaylee still on late duties last night?
She could have been, actually. Yeah. Sure.
We don't know. Who knows where she could actually go. Yeah. However, on a slightly different note, Ben Lewis.
Yes.
You were raising a very pertinent point, which ties in with the real gentleman that Holly always comes in to actually listen to, because obviously the film director, film work, film studies, film critic. But apart from his film critic routine, and two classics are coming up this morning, I can tell you, you were a bit concerned about the 55th anniversary.
65th.
Thank you very much. You see, it's quite right. That thereby hangs a tale. Why was this about Her Majesty the Queen, obviously, celebrating Sapphire?
Yeah, I didn't think there was enough coverage on it. And I'm not entirely fussed about the coverage. I don't, you know, purposely go out there just to double check that she's had enough coverage. It's more so the fact that in comparison to previous anniversaries, obviously the 60th is a big one, but it's 65 years, an extra 5 years, isn't it? So, and I was wondering, you know, it didn't seem, there wasn't enough hype about it, I don't think, in comparison to previous years. It'd be interesting to see what Mr. Fitzwilliam thinks.
We will redress that balance, because as you rightly said, the go-to person is our very own Richard.
Hello, yes. May I say that the reason for this was that this particular anniversary falls on the date when George VI died. And this for the Queen, therefore, is a day of contemplation, of memories, thinking back. I mean, she stays at Sandringham into early February, past this date every year, going down before Christmas, as we will remember, because, as I think a lot of people are rather concerned, that on two occasions the Queen missed church. But, of course, that was an extremely heavy cold, and happily all seems absolutely well. But the reason was the silver, gold, and diamond jubilees were all celebrated in terrific style. It was simply felt that we're waiting for the platinum. Now, that's in 5 years' time. I mean, there was a sapphire blue stamp, a set of coins in the Royal Mint. There was the reissuing of David Bailey's 2014 portrait, which I rather like because she wore sapphire jewelry, and of course the gun salutes, but that was the way she wanted it. And I think it was felt that, I mean, I didn't, be perfectly honest, if you'd asked me a few years ago what year is sapphire, I wouldn't have been able to tell you. So it was just felt that that was the best way when we're heading, I hope, to the platinum.
Does that help, Ben?
Yes, it does. And I found that quite interesting. I didn't know that. It's a bit of a pub quiz fact, I think.
That's the reason Richard is the go-to source for matters royal. Others may try. Jenny Bond in her time has tried. But, you know, fundamentally, you want to have the royal.
Exactly.
Richard is the man. And curiously, at the same time that Her Majesty the Queen was actually becoming crowned Queen of England, the middle of the 1950s, or 1953 to be precise, a working-class African-American father was trying to raise his family in the 1950s while coming to terms with the events events of his life. The portrayal, of course, directed by Denzel Washington, of a movie I believe you're about to talk about, Richard.
Yes, I am indeed. I've just seen it a second time, and it's based on a play by August Wilson, which has been praised as one of the finest insights into community life, and it's a study of Troy Maxson, whom Washington plays, and it's an extraordinarily complex figure. He'd been inside for murder. He had remarkable talent as a baseball player, but never really made it, whether it's because of his age or possibly because of racism, which he believes is unclear. Now he's a garbage collector, and his ambition is, as only whites are drivers, he wants to be the first driver of a garbage truck. And he's married to Rose. Now, here we've got a superb performance by Viola Davis. Rose, putting it mildly, is long-suffering because of the contradictions in the character of Troy, which dominate this amazing film. The son is Corey, but Corey wants to play football, according to Troy. That's the white man's game, and he's basically got to concentrate on his work and his chores. And Troy's older brother, Gabe, played by Marquette Williamson, sustained a war wound, is mentally impaired, and part of the time he spends with them. And also we meet Troy's best friend, Bono, played by Stephen Henderson. This Troy is a character who mixes a sense of status, egomania, a sense of toughness, and we discover there are parallels here with Death of a Salesman sometimes, because of the fascinating nature of these characters and the way, as we learn more about them, we learn about his childhood, we also learn about his battles with the Grim Reaper, and he's always up for a fight with members of his family, and we discover that in certain areas he may well have feet of clay. An amazing performance by both Washington and Viola Davis, but also tremendously well-written, a beautifully crafted work. You could say that some of it is a little dramatically neat, and some of the backgrounds do look a little stagey from time to time. Fences is a metaphor for what you let out and also what you let in to your life and to your family's life here. Previous son from a son from a previous relationship. We also meet him. He is a musician. Will Troy go and listen to him? He will not. Indeed, he'll do certain things. He won't do certain things, and we discover more about him. You're drawn into this extraordinary world that he inhabits.
Does Viola Davis match her quality that she brought to the screen as Amanda Waller in Suicide Squad, Richard?
I haven't seen Suicide Squad, I have to tell you, but I have to also assure you this is an Oscar-winning performance, and whereas she's up against tough competition, no question about it. There's our own Naomi Harris from Moonlight, there's Michelle Williams from Manchester by the Sea, there's Octavia Spencer from Hidden Figures, but Viola Davis is going to win because without giving away too much of the plot, you get, and there are, moments of deep poignancy and tragedy here where you see her at her finest, and she's superb.
Did you notice the way he seamlessly managed to get his Academy Award prediction as well at that particular point? It's just a mark of a true professional there. But fences, whether we build them, whether we build them up, whether we build walls and so on, Holly, is it the kind of movie you're likely to be checking out?
Yeah, it is. I'm looking forward to it. You've hyped it up for me now.
It is an amazing movie, and I would also mention the fine supporting cast, too.
Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, of course, or play, in fact, which it was originally put together. Hannah?
Well, yes, I'd seen the trailer for this film actually before, and it's already on a list of films to see for me. So you're just building it up, that list, even more, Richard.
Oh, I'm delighted, Holly, because, Wilson writes superbly, but Washington transfers it with such flair to the screen.
And you may or may not be interested in knowing, as we revealed last night, Phil Linus agrees with Richard Fitzwilliams. His prediction for Best Supporting Actress is Viola Davis from Fences. So they have unanimity on that particular one. So
I shall send my BAFTA predictions.
Oh, did not. It's relentless.
Ask Oscars, of course we got the BAFTAs.
Just awards after all. I mean, there's even the Brit Awards, mind you, that's popular music. So
Grammys as well.
Grammys, lower prizes for everyone. Ben,
more the merrier.
Will you be going to see Fences?
I'd like to, yeah. I was interested. I was watching the interview of Denzel Washington this morning on BBC News, and just before coming here, and I found it very interesting. He's a fantastic character, and I think it's portrayed quite well in the film. He portrays the character, quite well in the film, and I think I think in general it's one of those films that will sort of captivate an audience and certainly interest many people.
It'll certainly draw you in, because the way he rages, whether it's against members of his family, whether it's against things he doesn't like, whether it's issues where he feels he's been discriminated against, or whether it's against the Grim Reaper himself, he'll take him on. And of course there are a great number of baseball metaphors throughout it, but there are areas, as we get to learn, which show that whatever his past misdeeds, there also have been problems in the present, and that makes him all the more fascinating.
During the summer of 1979, 2 years, of course, after Her Majesty's Silver Jubilee, 1977, a Santa Barbara single mom and boarding house landlord decides the best way that she can parent her teenage son is to enlist her young tenants to serve as role models in a changing world. We're talking last century, we're talking women. Could it be 20th century women, Richard?
It could be, and I have to tell you that this is directed by Mike Mills, and it was rather interesting. When I went to the preview, he was there and was answering questions and so on. I was able to chat to him, and it was very, very interesting to see that this is one of his autobiographical films, because his last one, the very acclaimed Beginners, was based on his father's Paul's coming out in his mid-70s, and Christopher Plummer, well-deserved Oscar in that role. And this is a funny and touching film, and it's all based on the women in his life. As you say, it's set in Santa Barbara in the late 1970s, and it features an absolutely amazing performance. I mean, the trouble with the Best Actress category this year, and it's a problem the right way round, there are so many, more than in Best for Best Actor, that Annette Bening has been squeezed out. But as Dorothea feels, a single mother, she needs help because the world challenges her as it changes. Her teenage son, Jamie, played by Lucas Slade Zuman, is raised both by her and helped by her punk lodger, who's also a photographer, Abby, played by the glorious Greta Gerwig, one of my favorite actresses, and also his sister and who's his sister? His sister and their neighbour, Julie L. Fanning, is also assisting. And no question about it, this is full of beautiful, beautiful character studies. I thought that it was an enchanting film. It's very funny. Visually, it's very adept. And there's also a good performance by another lodger, William, played by Billy Crudup, who's a handyman who has eyes for the gorgeous Greta Gerwig as Abby, who would not. It's Annette Bening's performance that's absolutely marvelous here, because she played the 55-year-old. She remembers the years of the Depression. There's an absence of glamour, because a lot of people have commented that you basically see no makeup or little makeup, and someone who's known life, and you can see it in her face, and that's very, very refreshing. But also, this is an overtly feminist woman of a movie, because basically Jamie is brought up by three women, and it's linked to events of the period, President Carter's ill-timed crisis of confidence speech, for example. There's charming humor, and there's irresistible, sometimes outrageous discussions at dinner party scene where the word menstruation causes hilarity.
Sorry, I can't say that at this time in the morning, Richard. Please, your standards, for goodness sakes.
Well, the standards in this movie are high, and I must simply recommend it.
Splendid. Nice to see Jimmy Carter, of course, making another cameo appearance. I don't think we could actually see President Trump doing a similar kind of crisis of confidence speech. But, you know.
Mind you, I would also mention the visual style, because landscapes dissolve in a kaleidoscope of colour. There's some archival clips used, perhaps to mixed effect.
It's like being back in the decade where the parents of Holly and Hannah and Ben were just probably beginning to think about maybe planning for a family and such like stuff. But of course, Ben, Holly and Hannah are indeed 21st century people. people, not women, Ben. I know you're not going to do gender change.
Don't assume my gender.
but they were born in the 20th century. So there we are. Well, the last sort of cohort will actually be able to say they're straddling the centuries from that point.
Interesting that Mike Mills, basing Dorothea on his mother, basing Abby on his sister, it's a movie where he's telling his own life story, but bringing it so vividly and so humorously to life. As I say, some parts of the film are very, very funny, but there are also very, very touching scenes. And these are very believable characters. You don't get Hollywood stock characters here. I would emphasize it. It's not a contrived film. So many movies from Hollywood, even if they are very, very enjoyable, you do feel there's a certain falsity. You can see the screenwriters beavering away over the script.
Holly, mm-hmm. Have you ever considered making a movie featuring people that have influenced you, parentally or otherwise?
Yeah, why not? I think that's how you know, you're inspired. Mm. So I'll see what my mum says about that.
It will happen in all sorts of ways. But would you be going to see 20th Century Women?
Yeah.
Do.
I will.
That's two. You know, both Fences and 20th Century Women.
I also love Greta Gerwig. I think I'll be excited to see her again.
Yes, and also the Oscar nomination, by the way, there. I mean, for Best Supporting Actress, I'm delighted because, I mean, Mistress America, Frances Ha. Oh, yes.
Hannah.
Yes, this is one I will want to go and see.
Going to have 100% success rate because of Richard. Thumbs up for both, and people are actually heading off to the whole thing. Ben.
Yeah, I would definitely see it.
There we are.
Oh, that's great because I mean, Fences and 20th Century Women. You really can't do better. And with scripts like this, I mean, also it's in the dialogue in the.
Can you hear the words, Richard?
Absolutely.
There we are. You see, not even diction challenges at that moment. Fantastic stuff there. It's a win-win. So there we are. Thumbs up for both Fences and for 20th Century Women. We should really quit whilst we're ahead, but I'm going to ask those last two questions via Holly.
Richard, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
I have enormously.
Brilliant. And will you be joining us again very soon?
I most certainly hope so, and enjoy the movies.
Meanwhile, from a different gender... Okay, so cybersecurity, it's something which clearly is consistently in the news. Cyber attacks are regularly out there. The United Kingdom, apparently, though, present, least likely to have experienced a cyber attack in the past year. However, more than a third of businesses say they've changed nothing following a cyber security incident. Now, to connect some of the dots here and hopefully provide some of the protection and useful advice to actually cope with cyber attacks, indeed prevent them, we're delighted to welcome Head of Cyber for Hiscox, Matt Webb. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Clearly, there are those of us who, when we hear the word cyber, we think, oh, it's all cybermen. They're all taking over. They're going to be assimilating us in all sorts of other areas. But in the virtual world of cyberspace and so on, the cyber attacks are growing in range and frequency, aren't they?
They certainly are. I mean, businesses and individuals are under attack. We've just carried out a survey and produced a report of 3,000 businesses. And that showed that over 57% of firms have actually suffered a hack in the last 12 months.
And obviously not just firms, I mean, we know universities and other institutions have also suffered from that perspective. Can you just tell us a little bit about the types of businesses, though, that generally may be more prone to being hacked? I mean, is it the banking industry or is it literally any business can actually be hacked into?
I think all businesses need to manage the information that they handle. I think from a which industries are particularly targeted, you'd look at retailers and banks, you know, vast amount of banking information, credit card information, hospitals for the health information, and the hospitality industry, so restaurants and hotels.
And again, I have to say, speaking on behalf of Siren FM, based at the University of Lincoln, universities as well often have the sort of notion of people finding those sort of areas. In the United Kingdom, though, we mentioned at the top of the piece that it's not seen as many cyber attacks in the United States as was occurring last year. Is that just a blip? Is it a case of no, people have actually decided to go more to the USA? Is it a case of they'll be back with the UK before we know where we are?
There's still a significant number of people who responded that they had been hacked. You're looking at, you know, one in two businesses had suffered an attack in the last 12 months. I think the US in particular, you know, in the UK we have chip and PIN at our point of sale devices, and that offers us a huge amount of protection, whereas the United States are yet to migrate to that technology.
Is it complacency then? I mean, clearly we're looking as biometrics permeates through the system that even chip and PIN might be redundant and we actually go for retina scans and fingerprint scans before too long.
Indeed. I think from a complacency standpoint, well, a third of the businesses we spoke to didn't actually change anything after they'd been hacked, which does suggest complacency. But there were positive signs in the findings as well. So, you know, 60% of companies we spoke to are actually increasing their spending in and around cybersecurity.
It's possibly difficult to quantify exactly how much this costs business, but if you bear in mind that from this survey and report, effectively nearly half of businesses took 2 days or more to get back to business as usual, I mean, that's 48 hours that effectively lost completely.
It's a significant amount of time, and from our perspective at Hiscox, we've seen incidents run for much longer as well. I mean, the findings showed that we saw costs in between £25,000 up to £500,000. The insurance industry has suffered very large losses. So when a number of high-profile retailers were breached in 2013, 2014, there were $100 million losses came into the insurance market as a result of those hacks.
Best place to go to for more information?
So government websites are useful. So you can go for the Information Commissioner. You can check out CyberAware. Or indeed our own website, hiscox.co.uk, is useful as well.
And finally, from the perspective of the individual, I mean, we've talked about businesses and the corporate scenario. Presumably, you'd echo the same sort of advice to individual listeners who are sort of thinking, oh, you know, I just make sure that all my virus protection software is up to date and so on and so forth.
That's it. I mean, doing the basics right does help build, you know, your own firewall or build a higher firewall. So, yeah, making sure that you've got all of your systems are up to date with the patches, making sure your antivirus and firewalls are configured correctly certainly help with the problem.
Matt Webb, Head of Cyber for Hiscox, many thanks indeed. And we look forward to hopefully more good news as people bear in mind that they should actually be protecting themselves, as in the real world, so in the virtual world as well. Many thanks indeed.
Thanks, Alex.
Are you worried about cybersecurity, Ian Lennox?
Not at all. I'm so small, no one bothers about me.
Yes. You say that now, but I'm sure there are all manner of things that are sort of changing things around. Holly, are you worried about cybersecurity?
Yeah, probably less than I should be. Mm. But there was this weird advert the other day, and it was personalised to me about my password, and I thought that was creepy anyway.
Yeah, so I'd say that. Hannah?
Yeah, I get quite worried. I'm very, very cautious when I do online banking, because I only started that recently for paying my rent.
Ooh.
And at first I was very wary about it, because I know my mum had done it and had an issue where someone nearly tried to take away all her money, which they didn't, luckily.
How is she going to fund your life at university, your lifestyle and all sorts of
areas? That's the student loan from the government. These thousands of pounds of debt, that's what's funding me.
Right. Well, there we have it. Hannah, if nothing, an honest individual. Ben?
I'm slightly concerned. It's more so these silly emails you get, and I don't have a clue where they come from or who sends
Nigeria,
them.
Nigeria, usually.
Okay, yeah.
Or other.
A lot of time on their hands, but no, either way, I don't know. I don't know where they pick them up, because I don't tend to pay for stuff anywhere else, and mainly sort of your main websites that I stick to, but I don't know, it's just a bit of a one of those things. Well, it's always in the back of your mind when you're doing
something.
It's
a way of avoiding the issue that Newcastle United are top of the Championship again, really, I feel.
Well, all right.
We don't want to talk about
that.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that.
There we go. It's made my day.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all things could actually open up, and congratulations to Leicester City for at least two very good goals.
They made it after themselves, though, didn't they?
But it's the Ranieri way, obviously. That's
very
the classic line. How sad that Geordie Men, as I refer to Alan Shearer, had to say, oh yes, they've got a tie that they didn't want. That was their award.
Yeah.
I thought, how miserable. You know, that's the sort of reaction I'd expect, Ian, from a kind of Newcastle United manager who just couldn't cut the mustard, as Jerry Barton would have said. But there we are.
Getting drawn in this, Alex.
You'll see how to demolish Oxford United when they come up against Middlesbrough a week on Saturday. That's how you would actually have done the whole thing. You know, so the magic will actually work for that. And I won't talk about Huddersfield, nor indeed Burnley, who will... Well, I don't know. We've probably had Peter, Drive Time Peter, that would be, Peter Haywood from this very station, has successfully predicted every result for Lincoln City so far and maintains they will win.
Did he put money on it? I think that would be a different story otherwise.
You'd have to ask him and sort the thing through. Yes. That, Holly, have you got any questions you want to put to Ian? Hint, he always likes talking about Ollie and Oboe, you know, in extremes.
I'm just feeling as I speak, actually.
No, she's not interested in Ollie and Oboe, so he's not a violinist, you know. Are they making poor noises there in the background, or is that just yourself getting bored?
I'm trying to get them some food, actually.
What better way than to actually provide some food for Ollie and Oboe than the food of music to provide Camo's choice to actually, you know, have music to feed your cats by on a morning when it's coming around to 9:16, at least in Britain. That's the important thing. Would you like to listen, and more importantly, would Ollie and Oboe like to listen to Jake Worthington with A Lot of Room?
I think Ollie and Oboe too is eating at this moment, isn't that right? Yes, I'll listen to them in their place.
There's an echo in this room. Just won't let me be. All the angry words to her, they keep coming back to me. I can hear them in the hall, but for now it's empty. Dog.
Ian, are you anywhere near a computer?
No.
Oh, fair enough. We've just been putting out photographs from today, so you could have actually shared the joy and wonderment of Holly and Hannah and Ben and
my misery that Newcastle are now top of the league.
You sounded very enthusiastic about that.
Well, it was a horrific result against Huddersfield the other day.
Yeah, actually, I saw that game, and what surprised me is how good Huddersfield looked.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, it was either that or Brighton played really poorly. I'm not too sure which I'd rather agree with.
Well, yeah, but then they went on and beat Leeds. I know, last minute goal sort of thing, but they looked a real threat, actually, I think.
Even then, we still managed just to grab a draw the other night, and it was and that was painful enough.
Yes.
Oh, the other day, sorry, against Brentford on Sunday.
Yes, I mean, Brentford aren't that... they're not bad at home, are they?
They've always had a track record, a poor track record against Brentford away.
Have they, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know, it's an interesting league, isn't it, I think?
When we talked about 2 months ago, we were so confident that, you know, our teams would be up and it would be a matter of who was going to come in the playoffs. Now it's a different... We're still favourites. I'm sure you'll come back, but I'll be very wary of Huddersfield.
They're closing in, I think, certainly.
Yes. Yeah.
See, this is the reason that I feel we just sort of mark ourselves out as a local but not parochial station. What other local station will actually be talking about two teams completely out of the area, different ends of the country? No interest whatsoever to the Lincoln City fans in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, apart from the Brighton, I suppose.
Exactly. But with Holly and Ben being from Brighton, clearly you've got to have Bounce and Ian from Newcastle as well. 18 hours ago, Ian Lennox wrote the following. Wrote 500 words today, and then the computer went flash, and they disappeared. Strangely, I didn't curse and swear, and once I had ascertained that they had gone for good, I gave myself a couple of minutes and started all over again. I fear I might be going down with something. I was liked by 54 people. Oh, no, 54, and there were 10 comments on that, actually.
Really?
There were indeed 10 comments that sort of went through.
Well, a lot of my friends do writing once over another, you see, so... actually, I remember, years and years ago, now, 30 years ago, one of my friends is an academic, and he was basically told that he had to have printed work to advance his career. So he started to write a book about Stendhal, and who was a 19th century French novelist. Original Noir, I think it was.
Red and the Black, in case you can't.
That's so, it, sorry.
Ian speaks French, it's a whole new world, isn't it? Rouge and le Noir, Red and the Black. You know,
anyway, he came into the pub one night absolutely shaking, and it turned out that he was averaging about one chapter a month, and he'd wiped the chapter, whole chapter, and he never got back to it.
Yeah.
As far as I know, he just couldn't face it.
Just in terms of dialogue, Martin Brindley, no cursing, Ian. Have you lost your voice? Susan Reynolds, fortunately, he doesn't really swear much on these links, otherwise we'd have to sort of cut him short, thankfully. Susan Reynolds, I wrote an assignment for my degree, complete with Harvard referencing, and lost the lot. Almost gave up on the course, I was so upset. However, I settled myself down and wrote it again. It was much easier the second time. It's amazing what you can recall, and my second attempt was much superior to my first. Good luck on your second shot at it. Ian responds, finished it. Have we had that experience where you've lost all your work, Holly, and sort of said, no?
I think, yeah, or something, I'm doing it online and I refreshed it and then it all wiped.
Hannah?
Yeah, and the most recent one would have been on a TV news day where we're getting close to the bulletin going out and I'd written some copy and I go off to do the other story I'm working on and suddenly I'm told the copy's completely disappeared. So you're trying to write two bits of copy for two very different stories at once, twice.
share the pain, eh, Ben?
Yes, over Christmas, funny enough. the assignment, it was a corporate PR assignment and... I did a whole nice 4,500 words. Not all of it went, thankfully. I was probably about 2,000 words in. Done 1,000 words throughout the day, and then by the end of the day, the battery went on my laptop, and didn't save it. I thought it automatically saved. Didn't save it. Went to go back, and my heart broke.
Vin Arthy, in the commentating on these missing 500 words, vanished 500 words, wrote, a similar thing happened to me a month ago. I did a word count of 5 paras and then pressed delete instead of save. Vin! I did curse and swear, but consoled myself with the thought that T.E. Lawrence left the entire manuscript of Seven Pillars of Wisdom at a railway station and then had to write the entire book all over again. And finally, in terms of dialogue, because I think it's always important, I mean, that's the one thing when you follow Ian Lennox on Facebook, he accepts your friendship. There's all sorts of wonderful things here. Ernie Brown, Ian, I lost 9 chapters like this, spent months researching, and then zap, called in a PC engineer, presumably personal computer is supposed to be politically correct. Could be either. And he couldn't retrieve anything. I was so angry with myself for not backing up. I had also lost all the research notes, so disheartened, I never have got back to doing it all over again. To which you reply, Ian, with classic Uncle Ian avuncular nature, Ernie, that is terrible. I remember you outlining a plot years and years ago, which I thought very impressive. It's astounding, but still, that's just a little slice of life in terms of the thoughts of Ian Lennox on Facebook. Anyway, Ben, any other questions whilst I attempt to secure some photos of Ollie and Obo with Ian so that Holly will be committed to know that they're not a band? Because you're going to say Ollie and the Oboes will be a way forward.
Ian, what's the plan for the rest of the week? Is there anything outstanding?
Yes, my youngest daughter's birthday today, so we're going out for a walk this morning and I'm going to buy some food.
Nice.
Lunch. So that's very pleasant.
What cuisine are you sort of indulging in later?
Oh, it'll be a
a cafeteria sort of thing this time of the day. I'm not going off to a restaurant at 12 o'clock. We have a lot of coffee shops near my home, and they serve some quite good food, actually. So, and there's one particular one we go to that overlooks the park, which has got lovely views and stuff. And we go there. So hopefully we'll have a nice walk and have a nice, you know, couple of hours together. Just very pleasant. Then I shall come back and do some more writing, saving every paragraph as I go along.
I was going to say, much to do that from now on, I think. Or put automatic save on.
Wrap up warm, because if the temperature's in Lincoln 2 degrees centigrade and lows of zero, it could be even worse in Newcastle. Holly, happy with Ollie and Oboe, or is it a case of no, not really cat person?
I had two cats, so I guess I'm a cat person, but yeah, they look good.
And what were their names, Holly?
Sasha and Millie.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah. When you name a cat, you've got to put yourself through a scenario. They're out at night and you're standing at the front door shouting their names.
They're quite human names. We didn't actually name them, but I mean, they're quite, human names. So.
Yeah, I had one called Henry the Third.
Spank of the cat.
Come in here, Henry the Third, immediately.
Not a euphemism, in case you're wondering. Astonishingly, it's brought us round to the question, what did you think of Jake Worthington, Ian? Because you kept very quiet about that.
When it first started, I thought I was going to really, really like it. But it never really changed the sort of pace it was at. Exactly. It was very strange. It was it was like a walking race when you expect them to sort of jump, break into a jog, at least. I found his voice quite pleasant, which is the main thing, really.
And did you listen to it via speaker, or was it?
Yes, I did. The quality is so much better. Okay. And also, I was able to make myself a cup of tea.
Nice, that's very good. Hannah brings hers into the studio, actually.
Keep me going all morning.
What, your tea?
Yes, in my little thermos.
Is it a traditional tea, or is it a herbal tea?
Just good old Yorkshire tea.
Yorkshire tea?
Oh, that's a very... Yes, I better not advertise, but I have some of those, yes.
I'm a Twinings, unfortunately.
Really?
But I do enjoy it. It's very nice.
And there we have it. Different tea styles.
You know, I remember years and years ago when they brought the tea bags, everyone was horrified. They said, it's not the real tea at all, but now it's just sort of taken off. And people are saying, it's just scoopings from the floor in India and this sort of stuff. But now it's just accepted.
Well, there we have it. A whole new opening to discuss, probably next week. Ben.
Yes.
I think it falls to you to put those last two interrogatives to our man from Newcastle.
Okay. Ian, have you enjoyed your tenor frolic with us this morning?
I always do when Newcastle are top of the league.
Yeah, all right. Pop down.
You wouldn't last long as a fish, mate.
I said, would you be joining us again next week? But I don't think you will at this rate.
Ben, which league? That's the important thing. League? Raph will be gone soon. He's getting fed up with the whole
system. Definitely. We'll see you next year, Ian.